Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. It is a cloudy, dreary day, so what better day than this to talk about solar energy? We'll be talking to members of the Illinois Solar Energy Association a little bit later this half hour, but I want to jump right in with James Lansbury. He is on a phone line. James is with the I've got all my notes all over the place. James, welcome to the program.
Thanks. It's great to be here with you today.
The Samaritan Ministries, Ministries International, and I'm fascinated by what I've been reading about your group. And here we are, Holy Week. I thought it'd be a nice time to talk about it. I'm going to explain it in my words, and then you correct me, okay?
That sounds great.
All right. So I see this as sort of an insurance co-op, health insurance, for people who don't have health insurance. They, every month, mail a check in to the ministry, and then others who are in need, who also contribute monthly, who are in need, have a medical issue, they write to the Samaritan Ministries and say, I need this much money to deal with this. If the ministry says that's a good idea, the people who write the checks each month then send their checks to those patients, and their medical bills are paid for all through this co-op. How did I do on that?
All right. Well, lots of things that are great. So I want to start with the big important first correction is that you compared us to insurance, and what Samaritan Ministries does is completely not insurance. Insurance involves some legal contracts and shifting of actuarial responsibility, and so our members are voluntarily participating in something where they're sharing one another's bills. Now, and the second part that I wanted to just slightly correct is that members do send their bills in to us, but they all know when they send those bills because of predetermined guidelines that the members are all agreed to and voted on, and they're approved by a member-elected board of directors. They know whether those needs are going to be shared or not. It doesn't come here, and then we sit around in a room and decide whether this need's going to be shared. The bills come in. Bills meet the guidelines for publication, which is most needs from $300 on up, and then the members share in those bills. And then we coordinate the members sharing with one another. So we have right now 60,000 families sharing over $16 million a month in medical bills across all 50 states.
Yeah, I compare it to insurance only as a way to cover medical costs. You're right. I agree with that. But it seems to be a pretty remarkable thing. Who are the people who are drawn to this rather than traditional insurance?
So the primary reasons people join is because they're looking for something that meets their religious values. They're looking for something where they know their money's not going to go to pay for abortions and for issues related to other moral hazards that can go along with the current insurance marketplace. But the second reason is they're looking for something where they want that personal community approach. When we talk to members who have had medical needs met, the first thing they talk about is never, ever the getting the money met, and even when it's needs of over $1 million. They're talking about the notes and the cards they receive from other members, the prayers that they receive from other members. And so they're looking for that real personal option, something that takes what insurance has been, which is really just a financial transaction, and makes it into something much bigger, which is we're not only helping each other financially, but we're bearing the burden spiritually and emotionally as well.
A frustrating financial transaction is insurance. And maybe I misspoke a little bit earlier, too, because I think I said that the people involved send their checks to the Samaritan Ministries. But really, when someone is going to benefit from payments, the people send their money directly to the patients, right?
Right, and that's one of the greatest things about it. My family had a really large need about 3 years ago when my youngest son was born. He was in the NICU for 11 days. We accumulated over $200,000 in medical bills. And I've got a stack of notes and cards here in my office that's 4 inches high. People that sent the cards from 43 different states, people that I'm not ever going to meet this side of heaven, who took the time to not only pray for us, not only to send a gift, but to send a card along with that to be able to encourage us as we dealt with a young one in the hospital who was going through a really traumatic time. And he's great, by the way, now.
Oh, good.
Healthy 3-year-old boy, gets starting to climb trees already, which I don't think I've had a son climb trees this early at all.
It's funny you say that, because so stitches are next.
I'm sure he's going to spend his share of time in the emergency room. He's definitely an active young man.
All right, so, but James, here's the thing. There must be a limit, right, in what the recipient can receive. And I don't think I would have the guts to ever do this because I would be afraid it would exceed the limit one day.
Well, our regular sharing ministry shares needs up to $250,000 per incident. That's not an annual cap. It's not a per-person cap. It's not a lifetime cap. It's on a per-need. Less than half of a percent of all needs go over that $250,000. 53% of our members are in an optional add-on program called Save to Share, where we share needs from $50,000 or for that $250,000 on up. In fact, we've got a need going on right now with a member who's child has been in the hospital for 6 months. He's a newborn with Down syndrome, and he's been in the hospital for 6 months. And we're over, well over $1 million already that we've shared toward that need and continuing to share that need as this child who's doing much better than they expected in September when he was born. But, you know, continuing to grow in that. But, you know, seeing needs over $1 million is a regular occurrence for us, and our members are sharing in those needs every single month.
I'm sorry we're squeezed for time here, but another issue that I want to ask you about is, so this money is delayed a bit because, they have to get the checks from people and it has to go through you and all of that. So people have to put money, they have to pay for their medical care up front, and I wonder if that must be
a
hardship.
That's a common misnomer about sharing is that they do have to pay for it up front. And on the small bills, that does occasionally happen. If I go to the doctor for a routine patient visit, I'm usually going to find a cash discount and pay him right then and then have to wait to get that money back if that's a part of a larger need. But in general, hospitals and doctors are willing, billing you after the fact, and you have plenty of time to be able to make all that work within our time frame. The bills that we receive are shared within 60 to 90 days from when we receive them, and so it's a quicker turnaround time than certainly Medicaid is in Illinois.
And you are only growing, right? You're only getting bigger.
And we're continuing to get bigger, and we're continuing to make efficiencies that are related to that. But our members are paying their bills more quickly than any government agency usually is, and they're definitely turning that around quickly enough that the providers are happy with that.
All right, and you can find more information at SamaritanMinistries.org. James Lansbury, the Executive Vice President. Thanks very much for talking to us today. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me, Steve. It's been great to chat with you.
You bet. I hope we can do it again. You're listening to The Business Lunch here on 720. 1223, you're listening to The Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. My name is Steve Bertrand, and thank you very much for tuning in. I hope you'll follow me on Twitter at Steve Bertrand. Also, I should have mentioned earlier on my Facebook page, Steve Bertrand, I posted an article about the Samaritan Ministries International. So if you want to read a little bit more about that, you can certainly do so. I want to talk a little bit more about solar energy. Lisa Albrecht is on the telephone. She's the vice president of the policy committee, actually the policy committee chair for the Illinois Solar Energy Association. And okay, we'll just start with misconceptions, right? Because it's so rainy and dreary out that solar power could never work in Illinois.
Today is not an exciting day to talk about solar, now is it?
Although maybe it is if we can dream of the sun coming.
It comes, I promise you. We'll be back. It will be back.
How are we doing? Because I know Illinois is actually losing jobs when it comes to solar energy.
We have been. We've actually been struggling a little bit in the last year or so. We have some broken policy. So a lot of folks, as you alluded to, just assume that Chicagoland area is not a great spot for solar because of our weather. But in reality, when you look at where solar is growing across the country, it tends to follow the states with the strongest policies, giving good business indicators that the market is ready and that the state is here to support the industry. So we've been working very hard on a couple pieces of legislation. One in particular is the Clean Jobs Bill. Mm-hmm. We can maybe talk about that a little bit later. But we actually do have a tremendous amount of sun that comes here, even though it doesn't feel like it today. We're in the dire dregs of spring. But in the summertime, when our electric bills are at their peak, that's when we're producing the most energy, and we are actually a little bit cooler. And all electronics will perform better when they're cool. Anybody who works in a data center can tell you that for sure. So, and the same applies to solar. So we can even do better than Miami on a nice Midwestern day with some nice breezes.
All right, yeah. So I'm thinking there are two levels here. There's, the mom and pop at home who want to put a panel on their roof, and then there are the industries. You guys must balance those. But let's talk about the mom and pop at home. If I wanted to put, I have a flat roof. So I'm thinking, I have a dream of putting solar panels on my roof one day. Would it pay off for me? Is that something that it would benefit for me to do that here?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Flat roofs are a little bit different in terms of racking and how we actually get the panels up onto the roof. So there's a couple extra steps that need to be taken, but all solar in, you know, even here in the Midwest, and people, you know, are surprised to find this, a system will typically pay for itself somewhere between 10 to 14 years. And if you think about it, you are either renting your energy month to month forever, or by owning and creating a micro utility on your roof, you're creating retail income. You're taking that real estate and turning it into, you know, a part-time job that you never had to go to.
Okay, how about this weekend then? Can you come up and help me put them on the roof?
Absolutely. You know, the installation process is actually pretty quick. Typically, in most homes, you're looking at 4 to 5 days.
Wow.
To get the project complete.
Okay,
now, it's the upfront work that's a little bit longer.
And then the big industry. I mean, is this paying off for industry in Illinois?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of folks sniffing at our borders. There are some very large national players across the country who are looking at Illinois as a strong investment and a place to set up shop. And if we can, you know, once we pass the Clean Jobs Bill, we're looking at generating somewhere around 32,000 jobs in the clean energy market. So it's a great opportunity for local and national businesses to set up in Illinois.
Right. So we're losing jobs, but neighbors like Michigan and Ohio, they're picking up jobs. And your argument is that's because of strong state government support, right? So what are you after from the government?
Correct. Well, right now, Illinois has what's called a renewable portfolio standard, where a few years ago we set a target that said that we'd like 25% of our power to come from clean resources. Unfortunately, the mechanisms to make that work it was an unintended consequence of when we went to municipal aggregation and entire towns and communities, including the city of Chicago, left ComEd, that kind of broke the financial mechanism that allows solar to be a wise investment. So we've been working on fixing that. And in this past year, we've actually have been implementing a program where folks are able to basically sell their carbon offsets, and that has made solar very attainable and reachable financially. So we're actually working hard on fixing that and making sure that that we start to reach some of those targets we set for the 25% by 2025.
We got to run. Lisa Albrecht is on the phone line, but I know that you guys are involved in, what is it, raffling or auctioning off a house too with solar power?
Yeah, indeed. Thank you. So one of the big things that we're working on as a fundraiser for Illinois Solar Energy Association, most of our work is in advocacy, and we have a raffle. If you go to illinoissolar.org, folks can win a chance to get solar installed for free on their homes. It's a $40 raffle ticket, and we'll be drawing that on Earth Day on April 22nd.
Sweet. IllinoisSolar.org. Lisa Albrecht, thanks very much for talking to us today.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
You bet. You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch, and the boys from Chicago Inno are in the studio, Will Flanagan and Jim Dahlke. Welcome, gentlemen, back to the studio.
Thanks for having us, Steve.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. It's always good to see you. Jim did a quick pinch hit on Monday because we had an opening. So, and at the time, I want to talk about this cumulus funding thing. But before we do that, you guys have a big announcement coming up this afternoon, right?
Yeah, all month we've been doing our Tech Madness Bracket. It's one of the kind of biggest series we do all year. We get 64 local tech companies and startups in a bracket. We seed it by funding and headcount. And it's not just a list of the 64, you know, biggest companies or 64 of the most well-funded companies. This is kind of a snapshot of the ecosystem. So we have public businesses. We have two-person startups. We really want to get these 64 companies to represent all the things that are going on across all industries. So right now we're down to the Sweet 16. Voting ends at 4 p.m. today. We'll be announcing the Elite Eight later this afternoon. It's cool. We got some great matches. We have Spot Hero, the fast-growing parking app, versus Raise, the fast-growing gift card marketplace. That's one of the more interesting ones we got here. The company that builds kind of mapping infrastructure is going against Context Media, which is the health media company here.
Yeah, and the cool thing about the competition, too, is that, you know, if you're not familiar with the Chicago startup scene, it's a really interesting way to get a snapshot of what's going on, whether it's the big B2B tech companies, the consumer tech startups that are growing quickly in Chicago. It's a really interesting snapshot of what's going on and sort of a fan favorite vote, too, of what the startups people are using and like. So it's really interesting to see these 16 get narrowed down to some really interesting startups.
And it's just people are just voting, right?
Yeah, we're over 20,000 votes,
wow.
And it's architected. the one question we ask everyone to answer to see who moves on is, who do you think is going to be most valuable in 5 years? That's the metric. That's a question. But really, this is architected purely to generate awareness and excitement for the tech scene. You know, companies are moving on because they're promoting it the loudest, and it's fun, it's exciting. So really, yeah, would we love this to be the perfect ideal answer? Sure. But really, this is about just people getting excited about everything that's happening.
You kind of touched on this, but, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I remember from years past where, you know, when we think of tech, we think of these young startups and all of that, but there are big businesses involved here too.
Oh yeah, we have Zebra Technologies as a number one seed, which is a huge business in Lincolnshire. They're doing RFID tracking technology, and that's when, you know, we say we want to hit a snapshot of the tech ecosystem. It's not a startup bracket, it's a tech bracket. So we have 2,500 people businesses, two-person startups. It's a real look at everything.
And it very much mirrors the coverage at onchicagono.com. I mean, we're not just writing about the plucky startups. We're writing about the technology happening all across Chicago.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I was just going to put in a plug for Chicago Inno, because it's a really cool spot if you want to get up to date on what's sort of going on. And there's so much going on in the tech industry here. And you guys have a fun approach, but a serious approach to it. You remind me a little of DNA Info.
Yeah. I mean, I think what's cool about Tech Madness, I think it's representative of what we do and what we try to do, is which we take tech and we make it accessible. We make it fun. It is the fastest growing sector in the city's economy. We want people to engage with it, and it's hard when you're talking about IoT or health tech.
Right.
That barrier to entry is difficult. So you need to make that accessible. And one way you can do that is putting companies in a bracket.
Right. I mean, look, for a cat like me, you know, you guys are perfect. You're sort of creative for someone like me. All right, tell me, I got to talk about this Cumulus funding, because they're getting more and more money, right? They're going to be bigger and bigger. I don't know why Dick Durbin doesn't come after these guys like for payday loans.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see kind of how lending startups have popped up. One of the most popular ones in Chicago is Avant, which is one of the four tech companies in Illinois. It's a unicorn tech company valued at over $1 billion. And so Avant is one of many companies all across the country that are finding unique ways to lend people money. And Cumulus Funding is another such startup, and it's kind of taken a very unique approach to lending you money.
Okay, I'll be the lendy, you be the lender. You ready,
Jim?
All
right, go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Cumulus, I'm really down on my luck. I need a new car. And if you could just give me $3,000 right now so I could buy a used car, that would really change my world. Will you do that?
Sure. I will give you a loan for $3,000. However, I will give you that loan in exchange for a percentage of your future income.
I'm sorry, I just need an old Camaro. It's on the curb. It's gold. Right. So these people are taking out loans with a guarantee that it's not for the rest of their life, is it?
No, the typical period is between 2 and 6 years. So what Cumulus Funding does is they issue you a loan up to $10,000, and they will do that on a percentage of your income.
And so if I make, for a couple of the last 2 years, I make $100,000 a year, I owe them $20,000 for those two years?
So it caps it at about 10% of your income, so it won't be any higher than that, and that percentage is based on your credit score and things like that. So this is not the typical loan system that is for everybody. I mean, if you have a hard time getting a traditional bank loan, this is an option for that.
Right. So, but if I win the lottery, do they get 10% of my – if it's 10% I agree to, do they get 10% of my lottery winnings?
I believe it's your annual salary. So your lotto winnings, I don't believe, come into effect, which would be a total bummer if you just won the lottery.
Whoops.
Yeah.
And the reason you're starting to see all of these lending startups is it's that, you know, they're not just using the FICO scores, those two metrics to determine what happens. So while you guys were conducting your loan, I was representative of the predictive analytics software that is making the decision whether Jim is going to say yes or no. So it's not so much just looking at these sheets of paper. There's so much tech behind these decisions, which is what makes Avant really interesting, is that they're using this tech to drive.
So what you're saying is 30 years ago, there were two guys who would have broken my leg if I didn't pay. Today, there's actually technology and innovation that will determine whether or not I'm
making sure your legs are good to go.
Right. Okay. Well, I like that a lot better. Jim Dahlke is in the studio, Will Flanagan as well. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk about, there's a guy who developed a robot to play Angry Birds, right? Basically, that's it. He developed it kind of for fun to play Angry Birds, and it's turning into big business. That's coming up next on the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Thank you. very much, Orion Samuelson and Kim Gordon as well. Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's a soggy Thursday afternoon. Will Flanagan and Jim Dahlke are in the studio as well. I call them the Inno boys, but they write for Chicago Inno. Will is actually the managing editor, right?
GM.
General manager. Right. Is that new? No, it was always general manager.
Always GM.
Okay. And Jim Dahlke basically is an underling who does whatever he asks him to.
Right. The on-demand Jim Dahlke.
The on-demand. All right. Tell me about this Tapster thing, because it's an amazing story. It's a guy who's got some history with success.
Yeah. This is Tapster is a startup founded by Chicago entrepreneur and technologist Jason Huggins, and he's had a background in software testing, basically making programs that help companies make sure that their sites run across all apps and web browsers and things like that. And he, back in 2011, kind of as a joke, was at a technology conference in San Francisco and built a robot that could play Angry Birds on your phone. In 2011, Angry Birds was really popular.
It's not now. Am I that far behind?
Well, I think people are still playing it. But, I mean, it was, you know, Angry Birds was sort of taking over the world back in 2011. So he built this robot basically with the finger that was essentially a stylus that would touch the screen and could play Angry Birds.
You could program it to move around.
He presented it at the conference basically as a joke, and it turns out that people loved the idea, and he had kind of no idea why, so he put it online and sold it for, you know, $100 or so, and started to get a bunch of orders, and he kind of didn't really understand why, but then figured out that he was getting a lot of orders from phone makers and device makers with touchscreens who wanted to use this robot to actually, like, manually test
to see
their
how it
devices.
Works, right.
Exactly. So rather than, you know, hiring somebody to tap a screen to make sure your app doesn't crash for 12 hours straight, Tapster does that for you.
See, so I don't know why Trump is worried about our jobs going to Mexico.
Yeah, this robot's not really eliminating any human jobs because no human could work for 12 hours straight tapping a phone. So the interesting thing that's happened since then is that they're actually gotten deals with car makers. Car makers are buying these Tapster robots to work on the touchscreen head units inside the vehicles.
And the idea is we're testing durability, right? Is that what it's about?
Exactly. Car makers want to know that if you are messing with a touchscreen for 12 hours straight, that it's not going to crash. And so basically, the makers of the cars want to make sure that, like, they're not going to be liable for, like, a touchscreen that explodes, you know, after it's been used on a super long road trip.
Simple technology is really complicated. You know, what they're testing is that maybe there's this weird bug that's caching all of these touches, and it's not the 6,000th touch, it's the 6,001 that's going to stop your car dashboard from working. But that stuff happens where it's just these simple little actions, and they're just piling up. So you can't anticipate these bugs simply through weeks of testing. You need a robot to tap away. And what's really cool about Tapster is it's also kind of a new manufacturing story, right? These guys are making a robot in Oak Park, Illinois, and they're doing it by 3D printing the devices. So it's a really new manufacturing story as well. You know, they're not getting these robots shipped to them or making them in a big warehouse. They're 3D printing these devices. So it's kind of that new age robotics story.
All right, I want to move on to clothing because I'm not sure about this one. Marie Tillman lives in Chicago, Pat Tillman's widow, and we all know that story. Pat was played for the Arizona Cardinals and was killed in the Iraq War. And she's remarried, now lives in Chicago, and she has a little startup business of her own. I guess it's been going for a while, but it's sort of like Trunk Club, but for kids. Who wants to take that one?
Exactly, yeah. It's a clothing delivery service. So basically, it's if you're familiar with Stitch Fix and Trunk Club, these are services that let you take a quiz to kind of tell about your style, your fashion, what kind of clothes you like, and then they have a real stylist who will pick different items for you and ship them for you, about 6 to 8 items in a box.
I'm assuming you'd pick that sweater on your own, right?
This is a very, very, very serious fashion expert fix this Old Navy sweater that I'm wearing. So basically, what this startup Mac and Mia does is takes that sort of Stitch Fix or Trunk Club model, but does it for kids. So it's for kids' clothes. So
young kids.
Yeah, so parents can go in there and say what kinds of clothes they want for their kids, and then a stylist picks out a few items, ships the box to your house, you pick the items you want, you put the items that you don't want back in the mail, and you only have to pay for the stuff that you keep.
And how's she doing?
the business is growing. It launched in 2014. She said they're doing about 20% growth month over month now. They've got close to 10 employees now. You know, so it's really sort of a startup that grew kind of out of one mom's idea, one mom's dream, and now it's like a real startup, real business here in Chicago.
It's kind of, go ahead, Will.
Sorry, it's just what's interesting about this one is that the real, you know, the big buzzword in tech is on demand everything, hitting a button and getting it delivered to you. But the subscription model is just as exciting and booming a category, where it is this trunk club. I sign up for something, I get it curated monthly, and it's almost probably more sustainable because you can measure who's going to keep coming back and you can kind of deliver consistently.
You've got your regulars then, mm-hmm. too, much like the Columbia Record Club when I was 12 years old.
You're the first subscription model subscriber.
I think I was sort of a trendsetter. I knew there must be something.
Club. Yeah.
Fruit of the Month Club, right. The Will Flanagan is the general manager of Chicago Inno, and Jim Dahlke here as well. Listen, guys, I love when you come in, and good luck today with your tech madness.
Thanks very much, Steve. Thanks for having us.
You're listening to the Business Lunch on 720 WGN.